In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are many kinds of grief, but perhaps the most poignant is anticipatory grief. When we know we're going to lose someone we love, we long to pour into every moment we have left with them all the memories, all the love, all the affection we hold. We long to do something, anything, to help the one we love as they face their own death. But what and how? We'll see in a minute the way Mary found to express her grief and her love. But first, let's set the scene. In today's reading from John's Gospel, the events of Jesus' life are hastening toward their dark conclusion. The authorities in Jerusalem had accused him of blasphemy, thought to stone him, and tried to arrest him. So Jesus withdrew across the Jordan River. And he'd have done well to lie low. But then he heard his good friend Lazarus died in Bethany, just a few miles from Jerusalem. So Jesus bravely returned to the danger zone, consoled Lazarus's sisters, Martha and Mary, and miraculously summoned his friend out of the tomb and restored him to life. The reaction from the Jerusalem elite was predictable. The chief priests felt their authority threatened by Jesus' popularity with the people, so they resolved to put him to death. We come then to today's reading. 6 days before Passover, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus throw a dinner party for Jesus. One of the few examples in the gospel of someone doing something nice for Jesus. After dinner, Mary brought out a jar. No one could miss the odor already beginning to fill the room, a sharp scent midway between ginger and mint. It was a fragrant oil made from pure nard, a plant which grew only in the Himalayas. Barbara Brown Taylor observes that Mary then did 4 remarkable things in a row. First, she loosened her hair in a room full of men, something an honorable woman would never do, unless she were publicly grieving. Second, she poured the perfumed oil onto Jesus' feet. Also not done. The head, maybe. People anointed the heads of kings, but not the feet. Except if you were anointing a dead body for burial. Then you'd start with the feet. Third, Mary massaged Jesus' feet with the ointment. A single woman touching a single man, also not done, even among friends. Finally, she wiped the oil off with her own hair. Clearly, Mary is not concerned with what people will think, but with expressing something, doing something, something tender and deeply intimate. Everyone in the room by this point was on edge, but only Judas spoke up. He said, "That pound of nard was worth 300 denarii, enough money to feed a family for a whole year. Why wasn't it sold and given to the poor?" Then the narrator explains that Judas wasn't really interested in the poor. He'd picked up the habit of dipping into the common purse. Jesus rebuked Judas, "Leave her alone. Mary bought the perfume and kept it until this day, the day of preparation for my burial." Mary was anointing Jesus for his burial. Mary knew it. Jesus knew it, but they were probably the only people in the room who understood what was happening. Mary knew that by raising her brother to life, Jesus let himself be condemned to death. So with overwhelming gratitude and anticipatory grief, Mary poured out her most extravagant gift in the most extravagant way. She anointed the Anointed One. She chrismated the Christ. Judas was one who knew the price of everything and the value of nothing. He had a scarcity mentality. His instinct was to withhold. In contrast to Judas, Mary gave her all. She poured out her very self. 5 nights later, the night before he was killed, Jesus gathered his disciples for another dinner in an upstairs room. And after the meal, Jesus washed and dried each one's feet, as you know. Then he asked, "Do you know what I have done for you? I have set you an example. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash each other's feet." The example of servanthood which Jesus gave his disciples, washing and drying their feet, was the same example Mary had recently given him. Mary's extravagant gift, so outrageous and lavish, suggested there would be nothing restrained, nothing economical about Jesus' death, just as there was nothing restrained or economical about his life. Like the jar of ointment, Jesus was not to be withheld, not stuck on a shelf to be admired. He was to be opened, offered, poured out at great cost for the life of the world, emptied to the last drop. The sharp fragrance that filled the room in Mary's house was to spread out from Bethany to Jerusalem to Judea to the ends of the earth and down the centuries. The fragrance of Christ would come to America, even to a swampy patch of land off the Gulf Coast that would come to be called Houston, and to each one of us. Even as she grieved, Mary was able to do something for Jesus, something to express her gratitude and her love. So may we, as we approach Holy Week and our annual remembrance of Jesus' suffering and death, find something extravagant to do for him who gave his life to us. In this way, we will become the fragrance of Christ. Amen.